Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The Grant and Danny radio program is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, do you remember Will Fleming, who worked here
Yes.
for a little while? He was an update anchor for us. Local guy. Good buddy of mine. Very nice guy. He's now... has been for a couple years, but one of the voices of the Boston Red Sox on the radio. He's going to join us in an hour at 6 to talk about Paul Toboni, who is one of their young star executives who's being hired at 35 years old to run the Nationals front office. So looking forward to catching up with Will. Knows Paul very, very well. Get some inside info on just the personality and the person that's coming in here. But that'll be good.
I'm pretty sure we played against each other in high school, Will Fleming and I did. It's just St. Stephen's and St. Agnes Saint. He and I were rivals here, I think.
Is that the D.C. private school, whatever that thing?
Yeah, that IAC? The IAC, yeah, that was us.
Okay. Well, you got to ask him. You got to corroborate.
I'm pretty sure, because I think he played baseball. I think he was a baseball guy.
I would imagine. He's a play-by-play guy at the big league level. He probably played a little high school ball, I would imagine. He's the brother of Dave Fleming, voice of the San Francisco Giants. Also former member of the 106.7 The Fan community. All right, I told you we wanted to hear the Jaden Daniels presser. What piqued my interest, I'll be honest, we don't play a lot of Jaden Daniels pressers. There's just normally not a lot being said that like we need to that moves the needle or we need to break down. But Tom Shadd, who covers the team for the Post, came on with us in the Blitz. He said after being in the press conference today, he's starting to think Daniels will play, which led me to believe there's some confidence here. There's like a declaration at some point. So let's listen to what Jaden Daniels had to say.
Mr. Daniels, can you give us an assessment of where you are right now as far as come Sunday?
It's up to the doctor. It's not my decision.
For you, I mean, where do you think you're at?
And I feel good.
Watching Marcus do what he did on Sunday, obviously you're a big part of that as well. What did you think?
Super happy for him. He deserves everything, and he's been my biggest supporter, so it was my turn last week to be his.
This is kind of taking a step back, but did you know that you had been hurt in the Green Bay game? How did you feel? What gave you the confidence to continue and finish out the game?
I didn't know. I mean, I'm a football player at the end of the day. You know, you might take some shots here and there, and it wasn't stopping me from going out there and finishing the game, so I finished the game.
And then what was your reaction when Coach Quinn told you that you weren't going to be out there on Sunday?
I'll leave that between me and him. It wasn't like the most like, okay, yeah, I'm going to sit out. So,
can you tell us at all how the knee injury affects you the most?
I don't know. I feel good, so I don't think it affects me.
And the Terry is also dealing with an injury. Unclear to us anyway what his status might be going forward. But if he is unable to play, how big a loss is that for this offense?
He's Terry. He does what he does. He makes big plays, but you know, we kind of was dealing with that throughout training camp. So we very much had the next man up mentality. We're confident in other people to make plays.
Jane, how much running and cutting have you been able to do so far?
Enough to feel good if I play on Sunday. Like I said, it's not my decision.
And then have you had to play with a brace before?
No.
Feel like just wearing it even in practice?
Something to get used to.
Would you have to wear one if you do play on Sunday?
The doctors haven't said that decision yet. So that'll be a conversation.
Do you feel any level of discomfort when you're out there?
Nah, I'm myself.
Okay.
How does your preparation change this week or even last week when you're getting ready as if you're going to play, but you're also dealing with an injury?
None changed at all. I'm here early, and I'm still doing the same thing. Might have to do a little extra, but nothing changed at all.
Game, were you up in a box watching? And what was that perspective like for you to watch an NFL game from up top? When was the last time you watched a game the team you played for from up there?
To answer the second question first, never. It was different. You kind of just see everything differently, bird's eye view. But I was just up there cheering on my guys. I'd rather have been on the field, been able to compete with those guys, but that just wasn't part of the plans.
Like, as you're watching plays unfold from up there, and obviously you see it differently because you're at a different view, but in your head, are you like, get the ball here, get the ball there, because you're looking at it differently?
I mean, yeah, that's probably the easiest thing. I feel like that's why a lot of people have a lot of comments of, what we're doing and what we should do, but they're not actually out there in the fire, so no shot to anybody. But, it's a lot different from sitting up top and watching the game to actually being out there and playing.
That's Jaden Daniels today, and isn't that the truth? I mean, you got the ball in your hand. You got the 300-pounders coming at you. You got the DBs trying to trick you and hide.
Yeah, I'm going, look, he's open. Right? Yeah, easier for me.
A little easier when we're sitting on the couch, so no doubt about that. So, okay, I kind of get where Tom Shad's coming from. Again, we played this because Shad of the Washington Post came on and said, based on Daniels' press conference today, he thought he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
If I only had heard that and I didn't know anything else, hadn't heard anything, none of the rumblings from behind the scenes of the last couple of weeks, I think I would fully expect him to play too. Now you piece everything together, you connect some dots. But hearing that makes me think there is more of a chance he will play in Atlanta. The caveat to provide, or then the speak out of the other side of the mouth, this is the same guy who, after the Packers game, succinctly said, I'm good.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you have in this competitor is, he already told you, he was asked, like, what was your interaction with Dan Quinn like when he said you weren't playing? He said, I'm going to leave that between me and him. It wasn't like the most, okay, I'm going to sit out. Meaning, he put up a little fight, or, he was annoyed, or voiced his displeasure, or whatever is kind of what he's alluding to there, I would say, referring to. But I think this is a guy that's not going to complain. He's not going to tell you, I'm hurt. I don't feel good. Would he say that if he wasn't feeling good? Would he it's not a lie as much as it's being overconfident and not giving you any more information than you need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But what did he do last year with the rib? I don't remember. I don't ever remember him saying, I was compromised. I couldn't really breathe. I couldn't throw the ball. I think he kind of did the, I'm fine. I can be myself.
Yeah.
Like, no excuses bit.
Totally. And that's kind of why I sort of put it in the same category of hard to take it at face value. And again, it's not a criticism.
So this does nothing for you. Like, if you're, 1 to 100, the chance you think he plays on Sunday before you hear this is what?
Oh, good question. 25.
Okay. And you don't move that up at all?
I move it up a little bit. Not a ton.
Like
a little
30.
Bit. Like 30? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
so it moved.
From 1 to 100 this weekend. I go from...
Where were you before?
I'm trying to figure that out. Maybe 30%? I go to... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go from like 20% to 35%.
Okay.
30%.
Because when I hear, that's up to the doctors, meaning like, I've already said my piece. Like, he wanted to go last week.
That's a good point. He could also be saying, this is my chance to let everybody know, if it's up to me, I'm playing. I want to play.
Because I think that's part of, and again, I love him so much.
Blame the doctors.
Yeah, it's part of that, when you don't want to do something, and you're like, oh, I'd love to, but, the old lady would be mad at me. Even if you want to do it or not. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Or it's like, I can't because my kids.
It's
the out. I think it's part of the culture of football and the culture of being a leader, the culture of being a guy that wants to be out there so desperately with his teammates that you need to let everyone know the only thing that's stopping me from doing that are these medical guys, or is this guy that's stopping me from just going out there and doing it, et cetera, So that's the only reason I don't move it up a ton is I think that's his mentality. I think he would have played last week if he was allowed to.
I love how he cheered on and supported Marcus Mariota. He responded to an Instagram post the Commanders had saying something like, you know, best person in the world, you know, so happy for him. Like, he really genuinely, I think, is pulling and rooting for Mariota. There's no animus. You know, we've seen quarterback situations here where, you know, somebody goes in and it's not always, you know, two guys seeing eye to eye or whatever. That is not this in any way. That was his longest answer, by the way, was about, like, Terry and about Mariota. Anything about himself was,
I love that.
Up to the doctors, not my decision.
Well, there's a security there,
I feel good.
That matters to me. And I know it shouldn't, but the understanding of this person's not a threat to me. There, no one is. You know what I mean? Like, if somehow, like, we traded for Mahomes tomorrow and he and I were competing, okay, maybe he'd be a threat. But the list of people that could, like, take this thing from me is very small. Like, there's that assuredness in there. You have to be willing to say, it's fine if I take a step back because I believe in and I trust this other person.
Not a negative way either.
Right?
Like, I mean, there's nothing negative about he's not a threat. It's just a comfort in being the best.
Yeah.
And knowing the gap. Knowing that, because that is a thing, right? Like, I think insecure people don't want to leave the field because they go, what if the next guy outperforms me? What if that guy is better? What if that guy plays great? How long until someone starts saying he's better than me?
Yeah, and I can relate to that, by the way. I'm very insecure. I didn't really take vacation for about a decade doing this thing. Terrified that the next person would get the seat.
But in this case, like, he doesn't have to deal with that, which is nice. But I feel good, not expounding upon it at all.
Mm-hmm.
The succinctness of the answer could also be telling of, like, it's the prepared. I feel good. I'm fine. I'm myself.
Yeah, I thought the great sequence there was about the knee brace, too, by the way. Is it, would you have to wear a brace? Not up to me. Well, that means it's a possibility,
right? He
said
he's never worn a brace before. Would you wear one in the game? Or how does it feel at practice? It's something to get used to. And then would you have to wear one in the game? Doctors haven't said what their decision is on that yet. It would have to be a conversation, was the quote.
Yeah. It sounds like a brace is on the table.
I promise you he'll be in a brace if he plays this weekend. How could he not? Like, I don't know anything, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to speak out of school and just say that that feels like it would be malpractice.
Yeah.
To have a knee sprain, you need a brace to walk around leaving the stadium 1 week earlier, but you're going to go out there and take shots and run and cut and jump and run for 42 yards without a brace. That seems like it would be a mistake.
For this short-term week, if you need a brace, why don't you bike in place? Like, that's my little Johnny Cochran style axiom.
If you need a brace, bike in place.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see him in a brace.
Now,
I mean, people play in braces all the time.
No, I understand.
It's just extra.
Sure.
Like, just a little extra.
This soon? Like, if in 6 weeks, it's like, hey, you know, he's fine. This is just extra precautionary. No problem. But we're talking 2 weeks out. If you need a brace to jog around the facility, to practice, to do things, just have a seat right over there in that stationary bike, and you can pedal as much or as little as you'd like.
The press conference got going there after the Mariota question and warmed up. But early on, I was like, oh, boy. This is a 2.5-minute press conference? The first question, it's up to the doctors, not my decision. Okay. How do you feel? I feel good. Boom, boom. Pretty well prepared, obviously, by the staff. Yep. I mean, Charlie Moulet, who does a great job, who's their PR guy that helps Jaden. Like, he's going to give them all the questions. They're going to go up there with a plan, what you can say, what you can't say, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. And one of the ways to get off the podium without making a mistake when everybody's all eyes are on you and you don't want to give any more information than the coach has is just be very, very succinct. You know, he's not a guy that's an open book generally anyway. I was saying this to our guest last week who wrote a feature on him for SI Connor Orr. I find Jaden to be, mysterious is the wrong word, but I don't know a lot about him still. For a superstar player.
That's a great point.
Like, what do you really know as a personality? Everything I know about the kid, I love. I mean, he is awesome. What a nice, normal, like mine and your dream, to be honest with
Seriously.
You. Not going out, not partying, football robot, wants to be at home, putting his feet up, watching Netflix. Like, it's awesome. He's kind of operating in anonymity a little bit. But in terms of, like, I know Justin Herbert's dating Madison Beer. I know Josh Allen's married to Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah. You
know, these are guys that do everything the right way, too. But, like, I don't know anything about Jaden Daniels. He's been seen a couple times with a basketball player. No one knows if they're dating or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly.
He is a kind of a low-key, mysterious dude.
All about that. To your point, you're right. I mean, when you said that, I was like, well, don't we? But then I think you're right. And I think that's a good thing, by the way. Like, it's not as if he's out there, quote, making that money, boss, missing mini camps and stuff to film commercials or whatever. I mean, he's been around. He's done a couple of things, but it's all very well managed, right? And there's nothing that's taking over. The football is the thing. And once you are on, you know, contract number two or three and your mega extension is here and there and you've figured out all the balances and, you know, you're in year seven of the offense or whatever, okay. Yeah, by all means, you know, film your commercial for whoever, whatever. You know, you and Andy Reid can do State Farm Insurance thing if that's your back. But, man, you're right. I feel like we know precious little, and I think that's a good thing because everything I know, I love. I'm just enamored.
What do you guys make after hearing Jaden Daniels in the press conference? We had one of the reporters that covers the team on today say came out of that press conference more confident he's going to play. Do you agree with that? When you hear him say, I can be myself on the field, I feel good that the injury is not affecting him, multiple times saying that he's not affected, that he feels, he didn't say like I could play, but like myself. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Mr. Daniels, can you give us an assessment of where you are right now as far as come Sunday?
It's up to the doctors, not my decision.
For you, I mean, where do you think you're at? And
I feel good.
That was Jaden Daniels at his press conference today in Ashburn. Will he play against the Falcons? That is the big question. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan. So this injury report the team just put out post-practice is a show.
It's a tale of two cities. I mean, this is a novel.
3 minutes without breathing. Then he comes up for air and he acts like he lost consciousness.
I blacked out. What happened?
Basically, I could run through all of these names without breathing and then do the Will Ferrell thing where I'm like, where am I? What happened? So here are the guys that didn't practice today. John Bates, who missed the game Sunday, calf and groin. Noah Brown, who missed the game Sunday, groin and knee. By the way, it's not even like everyone has one injury. They're just dealing
with
two injuries.
If there's a slash in there.
Somehow Percy Butler only has a hip injury. That's good. Only
hey, good
one.
For Percy.
Come on. He didn't practice. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Beal. He was on the show yesterday. I guess we should have asked him how his knee was doing. He did not practice with a knee. I'm not worried about that one. I'll bet you he practices tomorrow. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, let's have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz didn't practice. In his case, it's just because he is older.
Old.
And they constantly have him not practice. Yep. So NIR rest is what they call it. Not injury related. Terry McLaurin didn't practice. Quad. Still getting opinions. And then Von Miller, Daron Payne, and Laremy Tunsil all didn't practice because of rest. So you don't have to worry about those guys. Trey Amos was limited with a calf. Shtick aside, I think this is the first good news we've gotten. The fact that he's not a DNP after coming out of that game with the calf injury, I feel like that's a big deal and positive.
That is you're right. That's the first bit of relatively good news. And it's still a thing, but it's less of a thing than maybe I was worried about.
None of the other guys that left the game with an injury were limited today. None of the other guys that missed the game Sunday trying to come back this week were limited today. So Trey Amos is it. Jaden Daniels, knee, limited. I guess that's very positive because he did something. But again, he was limited on Friday. That has been 5 days ago, so how much progress was there. We don't know how much more he did. They don't have to tell us. And then Colson Yankoff, ankle, full participation in practice. Am I allowed to say his name on the radio? I think
yeah,
I am.
You could say that.
Yeah. Colson Yankoff, out, or a full go today, was out on the practice field with an ankle.
Because that one's fun. Like, you could say that in a sentence. Like, I yanked off my pants. So? That doesn't matter. Like, it means you took your pants off.
Darius is getting near the button here.
I just had to dump that.
He doesn't.
No, you didn't. I'm telling you didn't. That one was fine.
He doesn't like where this is going. But anyway, Colson Yankoff he's back on the practice field. Did you see on the read option play where Mariota fumbled, where he gained the 23 yards,
uh-huh,
sick play? Colson Yankoff was flying in front of him.
He was out front.
A million miles an hour.
That was pretty fun.
Just ready to blow somebody up. What an injury report. So the question for you guys is, you just heard the JD5 presser. Did it make you feel any differently? It increased how much of a chance I give him to play by about 10%. Probably shouldn't have. Danny was unfazed. I still don't think he plays. I went from, this guy's not playing, to, this guy's probably not playing.
I went from 25 to 30. So it increased. It's up, but not that much.
Let's go to Justin in Columbia on the Fan. What's up, buddy?
What up, Grant? Danny, thanks for taking my call.
Got it, dude.
You got it.
As far as the offensive side of the ball, I'm not worried. I believe in Cliff Kingsbury, play calling, and Marcus Mariota's ability. As far as the defensive side, I might still have PTSD from the Rivera era, but good running backs scare me, and Bijan Robinson's really good.
So good.
You know, if Deron Payne was hurt, I'd probably be a little more nervous than I am. But I believe in the offensive side. I think they can go without Terry and JD5 for one more week. But they can't let Bijan go off because he played well last year. It won't be played, though.
Well, luckily last year, Zach Robinson forgot that he was on his team at halftime, and they stopped giving Bijan Robinson the football. And so if they could somehow get that to happen again, I would like their chances a little bit more. Bijan Robinson at this moment is the best running back in the NFL. Now, I know that's a big comment because Saquon Barkley went for 2K last year. Derrick Henry went for 2,000. Barkley would have had the greatest season in the history of the league if they didn't sit him in the final weekend. But right now, this moment, for my money, through 3 weeks of football this year, Bijan Robinson is the best running back in the league. And I say that based on how he runs the football, but also how exceptional he is out of the backfield as a pass catcher. And this is where I am petrified. I don't know how Washington is going to defend him out of the backfield as a receiver. You cannot put Bobby Wagner on him. You should not put Frankie Louvu on him. This is the job for a defensive back. Are you going to burn a guy like Sandra still doing that with a responsibility? I don't know what their plan is. That's why Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are smarter than me and get a lot of money. All I can do is sit here and be fearful that he's going to chew you up. They have a game where they get shut out and beat 30-0, and he was still really, really good. Ran 13 times for over 70 yards, and he ended up catching 5 passes for like 8 yards per catch. I think it was 5 grabs in the game for 40 yards as a receiver. He's now had at least 90 scrimmage yards in 8 consecutive games. Like, there's no slowing this guy down. He's exceptional outside zone, pin and pull stuff, you know, power, all the tosses, the things that they run out wide. Washington had fits with that last year. He and Atlanta crushed them with that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he just can't be tackled in space. Now, when you look at that outside stuff that I'm talking about, so he's gained 159 of his 239 total rushing yards, Danny, outside the tackles this season, second most in the NFL. He has been effective at breaking tackles out there, 139 yards after contact, 4.2 per play, top 5 in the league in that over the last 3 years, including this year. So for me, that's where I am petrified. Outside running game.
Yep.
Him as a receiver, I don't know how you stop him.
So what they've done a great job with is the interior stuff, right? That's where they beefed up on the defensive tackles and on the interior. So Josh Jacobs, sledgehammer, I beg you to do it some more. Please call, you know, interior runs, call your duos, call your cracks and your powers and all that kind of stuff.
Genty.
3 yards a pop. Genty, on the interior, they did a great job. They got him outside a little bit. You know, he had a couple hits.
He hit the 3 decent runs, yeah. But you tallied it up. It was 14 carries for 17 yards on everything else.
Yeah. So, the fact that he outside, it negates your Javon Kinlaws, your Deron Payne's to a degree. And it's incumbent upon linebackers, safeties, you know, whoever else to slow the guy down, and nobody does. He's excellent. I mean, he is terrifying. I mean, he's one of the best offensive weapons in this league. And there's just enough there where I know they got shut out this past week. So, you know, I'm sitting there trying to compliment this offense. And I'm going, they're very capable. They were garbage against Minnesota. They didn't do anything. And they did even less last week against Carolina. And the five of us could probably move the football against Carolina. But they're still capable. Drake London is good. Like, that guy is a tough cover, again, for anybody. They haven't used Darnell Mooney much yet. He's, you know, I think this will be his second week, maybe third week healthy as he comes back. They have enough to threaten you, especially a banged-up secondary.
Yeah, the way they use their guys is confounding. I don't understand what Zach Robinson's plan is. You have this incredible running game, and you don't use play action. Please explain that to me. But we need someone explain to me. Someone explain to me how they run the ball so well and they don't use play action. They don't take any shots. They don't throw the ball down the field. They don't move the pocket. If you're afraid of your O-line, that might be a lot of times what people say. Well, they're not going to take shots down the field. They don't like their right tackle. He's their third right tackle. They don't like, you know, their offensive line to hold up. The Chiefs don't trust their offensive line. They move the pocket. They create and extend with Mahomes to buy time for Tyquan Thornton or whoever to get downfield. Where is that for the Atlanta Falcons? I don't understand how Drake London, as an example, who you mentioned is really, really good. I agree with you. He's got that jump ball ability. He is the ultimate kind of like Mike Evans-y possession type receiver. Everything that they throw to him is within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. 78.9% of his targets are 9 yards or fewer right now this season. What is that?
Yeah. I mean, he's so good and physical. Like winning in short areas. So, like, he's like a tight end in the sense he can box you out and win that way.
They use him like he's. Logan made the comment when we were talking, and we're going to break down the Falcons tomorrow on the pod. But, like, we were just kind of chopping it up on Atlanta. He's like, when he watches the Falcons, he thinks they use Drake London like Travis Kelce, but, like, not prime Travis Kelce, like old Travis Kelce.
Right. And I guess my point is, I would use that too. That's helpful. Third and five, short area. Let's, you know, I saw, for example, the other before Mike Evans pulled his hamstring. It was a goal-to-go situation. You got Mike Evans one-on-one. That is stealing. That's the top of your screen. Quick little one-step, false step out. Cuts in front of the defender. He's big. He's strong. You can't get around him. That's an easy touchdown on that slant. Use Drake London that way. Also, where's the other part? Where's that, you know, more than 7-8 yards down the field type stuff? And don't tell me that, you know, Penix can't get it there. He doesn't have the Michael Vick cannon arm, he could throw it 100 yards in the air from his knee or whatever, Kyle Bowler style, but there's still more in that offense. Has to be somehow, some way. Maybe this is the week they discover it. I would look at some of that Raider film where whoever Trey Tucker is running wild and free like a pony in slow motion on one of those dumb romantic videos, movies rather. Like, there are all sorts of options in against the secondary. I would try to do some of those things.
Bijan Robinson as the fourth most missed tackles, and generated the third most missed tackle yards this season in the NFL. So this defense, way better against the run. This will be their biggest test yet. Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg on the Fan. You just heard the Jaden Daniels press conference here. What does that do for how you feel about him playing?
What up, guys? I'm feeling good, honestly, based on his comments, based on just, you know, how it's feeling. I think he's going to play. I would still be cool with him sitting and playing against the Chargers, but I do think he's going to play. Quick point, real quick, just about JD off the field. To your point, Grant, this is pure fan fiction. I don't know anything about his private life, obviously. I know there's that narrative about his mom kind of heavily regulating his life or his dating life. This is a little bit of a hot take. You know, I don't want him pulling a Money Manziel and spending it every Friday and Saturday with the boys. But, you know, I do hope he's letting his hair down a little bit, not living overly militaristic, maybe going on some dates, you know, pop a Zinner or two, just relax, you know, stay loose a little bit. So hopefully he's doing that. His mom's not overly regulating his life in that realm. So thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. I'm sure he's having a good time. He was at a WNBA game with Bobby Wagner couple weeks ago. I've seen him at Wizards games. I think he's been at a Nats game. He was cutting up and having a good time with the boys at the Caps game during the playoffs. My guess is he has a pretty fun experience whenever he wants to with his teammates and his friends, whoever they are. Occasionally he'll get on Instagram Live out and about in California or whatever. I'm not overly concerned about, like, him, you know, not to use your parlance, like letting his hair down?
Yeah, it's hard for me to decide like what I want in that regard. I don't know. I mean, to me, the reason I'm not a fan of his dating life, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm a fan of the football player and the leader that is going to deliver me, that has delivered me so much joy already. Then I hope that continues.
Right.
So I understand the point, but it's just it's not something I usually concern myself with a ton. Like,
totally.
The only time it, and I'm not ripping you, the only time it affects me is when you're ineligible. Like, in other words, when you're selfish acts, I'm not talking about Jaden Daniels, but anybody, when you're, it was so important to me to have so much fun that I now am ruled ineligible by the NFL because I screwed up in some way, because I drag raced, or I was at a nightclub doing something I shouldn't have been doing. The only time that's when it impacts me. Other than that, Godspeed.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. I mean, it's not our business per se what you do when you leave the facility, as long as you're not getting in trouble. I mean, do whatever you want to do. It's not up to us. Why would we have anything to say about that? But I know what it looks like for most of the really good quarterbacks in the league. Guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, I've seen them on the Netflix series. I know what it looks like for guys that get every ounce of their skill out of themselves, that overachieve like a Kirk Cousins. They spend millions of dollars on their body. They got, you know, a wife, husband, masseuse teams coming to their house 3 days a week to like make sure their neck and feet are okay. They're hooking up to wires, contraptions to try to read their brain waves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just out there shucking and jiving and kicking it at the bar every single night until 2 a.m.
Yeah, they're not putting a clause in your contract that says, please study.
All of our football conversation, some of which is not even football.
That's right, dating life.
Presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a nice week 4 matchup for Washington and Atlanta against the Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Next, I want to talk about the Terry McLaurin injury. And you know what's going to happen. Now, if he misses a game and he's hurt, people are going to say it had something to do with the summer. Is that reasonable? This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
It's pretty normal that when you have something that a second opinion takes place, that's not uncommon at all. Honestly, it's just the opposite. It's really common. Almost everybody does that in some spaces. So as we get into, I'll have a better answer, you know, as I get closer to, or as I get into Friday, then we'll have a sense for, okay, where does it look like for Sunday?
That's Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. At 6 o'clock, we'll catch up with Will Fleming. He's one of the voices of Red Sox baseball, but the reason we're having him on today is because the Nationals hired one of the top rising star executives from the Boston organization, and they are now turning their front office over to someone from outside the organization. Fresh set of eyes, fresh ideas, completely revamped and overhauled the way the Red Sox draft and develop, and now Paul Toboni will be asked to do that here in D.C. with the Nationals. So we'll get Will's insight on a guy that he's gotten to know very, very well over the last several seasons at Fenway Park. But Danny, the Terry McLaurin injury is interesting because I've already seen the discourse begin now, and it's, as you'd imagine, fairly divisive. It doesn't need to be, but you've got people who are very angry and upset that Terry McLaurin has gotten hurt after holding out, because the point was all along, hey, you risk injury when you play football, period. CeeDee Lamb didn't hold out, got hurt. Mike Evans didn't hold out, got hurt. But you up the risk of injury playing football after you miss a month's worth of practices and the ramping up period and the soft tissue stuff can happen. It happened during a tackle. There's no way to know if he would have gotten hurt.
Right.
Whether he played in every practice and was at camp all month or not. But the fact is, when you get hurt after you hold out and you don't show up for almost all of training camp, you are opening yourself up to the criticism when you do. And a guy that has played in 71 straight games, who's been one of the modern day Iron Men here for the Commanders, who has not missed a game in over four seasons, who is, if you count playoff games, you know, it's up to 75 or so games without missing a game, is now on the verge of missing one, it would appear. Oh, by the way, through three games in now six seasons of NFL football, this is the lowest catch total he's ever had with 10 catches. So this has not been a great start to the year, any way you look at it, for Terry McLaurin. But what do you make of the dialogue now between the people very angry about people that are, I guess, taking a victory lap on, see, he should have been at practice, and then the people that are quick to do that?
Yeah, you said the key phrase here. We don't know. There's no possible way, and this is the thing I said initially, because I think I was a pretty loud voice when we reached a certain point in the calendar. All right, it's time to end it. Go to practice. Get ready for football, please. You're now impacting the year. The year has now been impacted. But to me, we'll never know if that football player resulted in the injury, or if it, you know, if his muscle fibers were that much more reinforced because of having been on the grass for all the practice time, or would he have gotten off to a faster start? Didn't get off to a fast start last year, by the way, during a career year. Would the numbers have been better through two games? I don't know if they beat the Green Bay Packers if he's at practice for an extra week, but sure would have loved to have found out, right? So I don't think it's fair to slam the gavel in any kind of definitive. But I also do think it's fair to ask the question, because this to me was the point. There's no guarantee one way or the other. The reason we have practices, the reason we have training camps, the reason the structure is this way is that it's the best practice. And whenever you do anything to get ready to play the sport, you need to actually go through all those steps. They'd love to talk about the return to play. Well, that's part of it. That's really what we're doing here when you go through training camp. Everybody's in their return to play mode, because they're not coming back from injury. They're coming back from inactivity. They're coming back from not being in football shape. There's a reason all these milestones happen. There's a reason the coaches sit down through all hours of the night going, okay, on Tuesday we're going to hit, and then we'll go in shells on Wednesday. Thursday's two walkthroughs. Friday we're practicing at 8. They're not just doing that for fun. They're not just throwing darts at a board to figure it out. It is the best way that we have found to get your team ready to play football. And they're still no settled science on it. Everyone's doing the best they can.
Ready,
and that's my point, to get your body ready. So it is absolutely fair to say the production hasn't been anywhere near the level that it should be or has been in the past. And you were on the field for 2 days with Jaden Daniels before the season started. So yeah, I mean, the thing I pointed out after we got to a certain point, you are more than welcome and correct to demand and fight for everything you could possibly fight for. Once you now crossed over that fight into you are damaging our mission, even if the damage is minor, then I'm no longer an advocate for you. I'm now hey man, it's time to go practice football. And that's kind of what happened to me.
So he had two catches for 27 yards in the opener. He had five catches for 48 yards in the Green Bay game. A lot of those late in that game, kind of in the blowout, but they happened. And then he had three catches for 74 yards against the Raiders, including the long catch and run where he looked like Terry McLaurin. And I thought probably should have been awarded a 57-yard touchdown. They ruled him down at the one-yard line. I still haven't seen an angle where his knee was down, but I'll take their word for it. Regardless, though, of those 56 yards, that's over a third of his productivity this season. So you look at it, and it's a staircase going up, which is good, from 27 yards week one to 48 week two to 74 week three. You look at it, and you see, all right, you know, a 74-yard game, you do that over 17 games, that's going to get you to about 1,260 yards. That's number one wide receiver type stuff, so we'll take it. But if you take that one play, it's one snap, mm-hmm. on a, you know, kind of a greatly designed thing by Cliff where he was wide open, then it was two catches for 18 yards in that game. He would have played in the fourth quarter if not for that play where he got hurt. So maybe it ends up being a 4 or 5 catch day and the yardage are better. But, you know, we're talking about another 20-ish yard game. And this was my point I brought up a lot this offseason was he had as many sub-30-yard games last year as he did 100-yard games. So it's not like this is new. This is part of the offense and how it operates and how it runs. You're not going to necessarily dominate if you're a wide receiver in this passing scheme, I don't think. But when you couple, he's never only had 10 catches through 3 games. His previous low was 12, and early in his career it was 19 and 16 and 16, I think, in his first 3 seasons, comparatively, to right now. And now he's hurt, which doesn't happen either. Could be a coincidence, for sure. But you left open the possibility for any kind of criticism that comes. You either get to, you know, the stuff you control, you either do everything you can or you don't. Mm-hmm. And this year he didn't.
Right.
And here we are. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I'm sure, toxic, and I've seen people screaming at each other all day long. But the fact is, hopefully, he gets right, he gets healthy, he starts producing at his normal level, and by the end of the year, this is a distant memory. All right, let's talk about the Nats' new executive. We'll also hit the NFL headlines before we get out of here on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.